Welcome back, everyone, to The Deep Dive.
Always a pleasure to be back.
It really does feel like every week there's a whole new wave of digital tech advancements.
It's true. And just keeping up with it all can feel like a full-time job.
Can be a little overwhelming, to be honest, sometimes, yeah, right?
It absolutely is. And that's why we do this, right? We cut through the noise and pull out what's really important.
Exactly.
Give you the insights you actually need.
Yeah. We've been diving deep into the latest press releases, the industry buzz all from early to mid-March 2025.
That's right.
We're talking everything from the massive world of enterprise AI to the tech that you use every day in your home or your small business.
Exactly. A very wide spectrum.
Yeah. A lot to unpack. So let's jump right in.
That's good.
So one of the biggest themes this week seems to be AI, specifically AI infrastructure.
Yeah. It was really front and center at CloudFest 2025. And ASUS really stood out to me.
Oh, why is that?
Well, they're pushing what they call total AI solutions.
Okay.
They're not just focusing on one piece of the puzzle. They're looking at the whole journey of AI. From that initial data capture at the edge all the way to the cloud, where the real heavy lifting happens.
Where the training and everything happens.
Exactly. Exactly.
And they were showing off some pretty impressive hardware too, right?
Oh, absolutely. Cutting edge stuff built around the latest processors from Intel, NVIDIA, AMD, the big names.
So what stood out to you on the hardware side?
Well, on the Intel side, they were really highlighting their new Xeon 6 processors in these servers.
Yeah, I saw that.
And what's really cool is that modular design, they're using the data center modular hardware system, or DCMHS.
I'm not super familiar with that. What is that exactly?
So think of it like building blocks for your servers.
Okay.
So you can scale things up very flexibly, and it makes maintenance way easier, which is crucial in a big data center.
So it's all about efficiency.
Absolutely. Efficiency and scalability.
Okay, cool. And they mentioned a few specific servers, right? Like the RS700 E12.
Yep, the RS700 E12, the RS720Q E12, and then there was the ESC 8000 E12 PE series.
That one, that ESC 8000, that's the one where Intel's new Gaudi 3 AI accelerator was making its debut, right?
Yes, exactly. That's the one. And this is a really interesting development from Intel.
Oh, how so?
Well, it shows how serious they are about competing in the AI acceleration market.
Okay.
And this Gaudi 3 card, it's pretty impressive.
What are we talking about spec-wise?
Well, first of all, it uses PCIe 5.0, which is a super fast connection, and it has a huge amount of very fast memory, 120 gigabytes of HBM2E.
Okay, so it can access the data it needs incredibly quickly.
Extremely quickly.
Yeah.
And it also has 64 of these specialized processing units called Tensor Processor Cores.
Oh, wow. What do those do?
Well, those are designed for handling the really complex calculations involved in AI, like fine-tuning AI models, and then using those models for inference, you know, making predictions.
Yeah.
And all of this with high energy efficiency.
So it's really about bringing a ton of computing power, but also keeping it as efficient as possible.
Exactly. That's the key. And it really positions Intel as a strong contender in the AI space.
Okay, very cool.
And on top of that, ASUS also unveiled some of their super high-performance AI platforms, like the ESC N8 E11V.
Yeah, the one with the NVIDIA H200 GPUs, right?
Exactly. It's packing some serious firepower.
Top of the line.
And it uses liquid cooling to keep everything running smoothly, even under the most demanding workloads.
Wow. And what was that other one? The AI POD?
Yes, the AI POD with NVIDIA GB200 and VL72.
That one had a crazy number of GPUs, didn't it?
It's a B72 of NVIDIA's latest Blackwell GPUs, all connected with NVLink.
I can only imagine the performance on that.
It's designed for the most demanding AI workloads you can imagine and high-performance computing tasks.
So that's the real cutting-edge stuff.
The bleeding edge.
Very cool. And it wasn't just an Intel and NVIDIA show, right? ASUS also had a server with an AMD processor.
That's right, the RS520QAE13 with AMD's EPYC 9005 processors.
What were they aiming that one at?
Well, they were highlighting it for things like electronic design automation, which is essentially designing chips.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And also for edge computing, so processing data closer to where it's collected.
So really a very wide range of uses there as well.
Exactly. A very versatile platform.
And ASUS really seemed to be emphasizing the integration between their hardware and software tools.
That's a really important point because they're trying to make it easier for businesses to actually use these powerful AI systems.
So it's not just about having the hardware, it's about making it usable.
Absolutely, making it practical for real-world applications.
Now let's shift gears a bit from that high-end enterprise world.
Okay, where are we headed?
Let's talk about something a little closer to home, like consumer and small business networking.
Sounds good. Always interesting to see the latest developments there.
Absolutely. And there were some interesting announcements this week from companies like TP-Link, Netgear, and QNAP.
Yeah, they're always pushing the boundaries of what's possible in the networking space.
Yeah. So, starting with TP-Link, they unveiled a new travel router.
Yep, the TLWR3000-2X, a very compact but powerful little device.
What are the key features there?
Well, it supports dual-band Wi-Fi 6, which means it can operate on two different frequencies for better performance.
Yeah, less interference.
And it has a very fast 2.5 Gbps WAN port for connecting to your internet service provider.
That's becoming more and more common now.
It is, and it also has a regular gigabit LAN port for wired devices, a USB 3.0 port. You can even use a micro SD card with it.
So it's pretty versatile for its size.
It really is, and they've really focused on security and making it easy to connect on public Wi-Fi.
Oh, that's so important, especially when you're traveling.
It is, and this router can actually create its own private Wi-Fi network when you're connected to a public network.
Oh, that's cool. So it's like your own little bubble of security.
Exactly, and it has this one-step captive portal authentication.
Which is great because those can be such a pain
And they can be a
sometimes.
real hassle. And then on top of all that, it supports speeds up to 2400 2 Mbps on the 5 gigahertz band.
So it's no slouch when it comes to performance.
Not at all. It can handle streaming and large file transfers with ease, and all for under $100.
Wow, that's impressive.
It's a great value.
And then we had Netgear jumping into the Wi-Fi 7 arena.
Yes, they launched their most affordable Wi-Fi 7 router yet, the Nighthawk RS100.
And Wi-Fi 7, that's the next generation, right?
It is the very latest standard, promising even faster speeds and better capacity than Wi-Fi 6.
So what kind of speed are we talking about here?
Well, they're claiming speeds up to 2.4 times faster than Wi-Fi 6, which could translate to streaming speeds up to 3.6 Gbps.
Wow. Okay, that's significant.
It is, and it also boasts coverage up to 2,000 square feet and can handle up to 50 devices.
So it's really designed for the modern connected home.
Absolutely. All your smart devices, your phones, your laptops, everything.
And did they mention anything about security
Oh,
features?
yeah, that's a big focus.
Okay, good.
It has WPA3 encryption, support for VPNs, and it even comes with a trial of their Netgear Armor service.
So it's a very secure router out of the box.
It is, and they've also made it super easy to set up and manage with their Nighthawk app.
Which also has parental controls.
Yes, which is great for families.
Definitely. And moving on to QNAP, they announced an upgrade to their QSWM7308R4X100GBE switch.
Yeah, that's a serious piece of networking equipment designed for businesses that need high bandwidth.
100 GBE, that's a lot of bandwidth.
It is a huge amount of data carrying capacity.
So what's new in this upgrade?
Well, they've added support for 40 GBE QSSP Plus connections, and they also allow you to use breakout cable.
IDOT cables.
Yeah, so you can split a single 100 GBE port into four separate 25 GBE connections.
Oh, okay, I see. So more flexibility.
Exactly, and it can be more cost-effective than using separate 25 GBE ports.
So it's a good option for businesses that need to scale their network.
It is.
Yeah.
And they've also introduced cloud-based central management through their AMIZ cloud platform.
That's great for IT administrators.
It makes managing multiple network devices much easier.
Definitely. And it sounds like this switch is also optimized for audio-visual applications.
That's right. It supports technologies like PTP and QoS, which is quality of service.
So you can prioritize certain types of traffic like video or audio.
Exactly. That's crucial for smooth streaming and video conferencing.
Especially these days.
Absolutely. And what's also interesting is that they've made it backward compatible.
Okay, so it can integrate with older equipment.
Yes, which is very important for businesses that can't just rip and replace their entire infrastructure.
It's all about that smooth transition.
Exactly.
Okay, let's talk storage now.
All right, let's dive into that world.
There were a ton of announcements this week, everything from consumer SSDs to massive enterprise storage systems.
It's a constantly evolving landscape with a big push for more capacity, faster speeds, and better reliability.
Absolutely. So let's start with Silicon Power.
Okay, what did they announce?
They launched a whole new series of TLC SSDs called the Endura series.
I saw that TLC standing for triple level cell, right?
That's right, a type of flash memory.
And this Endura series, it's got a drive for pretty much every need, right?
It does. They've got four different models, the E55, E60, ED90, and the ES75.
So hitting different price points and performance levels.
Exactly. So the E55 is your standard 2.5-inch SATA 3 drive. good for everyday use.
Solid performance for most people's needs.
Then you step up to the E60, which uses PCIe 3.0 for faster data transfer, good for multitasking.
And then the ED90 and ES75, those are the real speed demons.
Yeah, those are both PCIe 4.0.
And the E75 is the top of the line with incredibly fast read and write speeds.
Perfect for demanding tasks like video editing or gaming.
Absolutely. Anything that needs top-notch performance.
So a good range of options there from Silicon Power.
Definitely some for everyone.
Now, Silicon Motion, who makes the controllers that go inside many SSDs, they announced a PCIe Gen 5 Enterprise SSD Reference Design Kit.
Ah, yes. That's exciting news for the data center world.
It is, and this design can support a massive 128 terabytes of storage using QLC NAND.
QLC, that's quad-level cell, right?
That's right, which allows for even higher storage densities.
So you're packing a ton of storage into a single drive.
An incredible amount, and it's not just about capacity. The performance is also amazing, over 14 gigabytes per second sequential read speeds.
And over 3.3 million random read IOPS.
IOPS, what does that stand for again?
It stands for input-output operations per second.
Right, so a measure of how quickly a drive can handle lots of small requests.
Exactly, which is crucial for enterprise workloads where you're constantly accessing data.
And they're also highlighting features like NVMe 2.0 FTP for improved data protection.
And their PerformaShape technology, which is designed to optimize performance for AI workloads.
So they're really targeting the AI and data center market with this one.
Absolutely. It's all about pushing the limits of performance and capacity.
And Kingston also jumped into the PCIe 5.0 game with their DC3000 ME Enterprise SSD.
Ew, that's a really interesting drive.
It comes in a U.2 form factor, which is common in servers, and it uses ETLC NAND.
ETLC, that's a more durable version of TLC flash, right?
Exactly, and it comes in capacities up to 15.36 terabytes.
Wow, that's huge.
It is, and it has a one drive write per day endurance rating.
So you can rewrite the entire drive every single day for 5 years.
And it should still be within its warranty.
That's incredible endurance, and it also has power loss protection.
So no data corruption if the power goes out.
A very important feature for mission-critical applications.
And the speeds are phenomenal as well, up to 14,000 megabytes per second read speeds.
Wow, that's blazing fast.
It is, and it also has remote management capabilities.
So IT admins can monitor and manage it remotely?
Yeah, very convenient.
And it's really designed for demanding applications like AI, high-performance computing, large databases.
So the real heavy hitters in the enterprise world.
Exactly.
Now, Western Digital also made a splash this week.
Oh, what did they announce?
They expanded their WD Red Pro and G Drive series with new 26 terabyte CMR hard disk drives.
CMR, that's conventional magnetic recording, right?
That's right. So traditional spinning hard drives.
So even with the rise of SSDs, there's still place for hard drives.
Absolutely, especially for large capacities.
And 26 terabytes, that's a lot of storage.
It is, and the G Drive series is very popular with creative professionals.
Yeah, video editors, photographers, anyone who needs a lot of storage space.
Exactly, and the WD Red Pro drives are specifically designed for NAS environments.
NAS, that's network attached storage.
Right, so you can have a central storage location for your home or business.
Very convenient, and these WD Red Pro drives, they have high workload ratings and are designed for 247 operation.
So they're built to last.
They are. And it's interesting to see Western Digital still pushing the boundaries of hard drive technology.
It shows that there's still a demand for both SSDs and hard drives. Each has its own strengths.
Absolutely. Horses for courses.
Infortran also announced something interesting this week.
What was that?
They unveiled their first U.2 NVMe all-flash expansion enclosure, the JB4000U.
That's a mouthful.
It is, but it's essentially a box filled with high-speed NVMe SSDs.
Okay, and what's the use case for that?
It's designed to add a ton of very fast storage to their Eon Storage GS storage systems.
So for applications that need the absolute fastest storage possible?
Exactly, things like high-end AI processing or professional video editing.
Where every millisecond counts.
And it supports up to 24 U.2 NVMe SSDs, so you can get some serious throughput.
A massive amount of data moving very quickly.
And Infortran is saying that it's more cost-effective than using SAS SSD enclosures.
SAS, that serial-attached SCSI, another type of enterprise drive?
Right, but NVMe is generally faster and becoming more affordable.
So it's a good option for businesses that need to maximize storage performance.
Now, looking a bit further into the future, Astra Labs gave a demo at DesignCon 2025 that really caught our eye.
Oh, what's that?
They showed off a PCIe 6.0 SSD that reached a speed of 27 gigabytes per second.
Wow, that's incredibly fast. fast.
It is. PCIe 6.0 is the next generation of the PCIe standard.
And it essentially doubles the bandwidth compared to PCIe 5.0.
Which is a huge deal for data-intensive applications.
Absolutely. AI, machine learning, high-performance computing, all those fields will benefit tremendously from this speed increase.
And they were using Micron SSDs and Astrolab's retimer technology to achieve these speeds.
Retimers are crucial for maintaining signal integrity at these high speeds.
And this is really just a glimpse of what's to come with PCIe 6.0.
It is. And when you combine it with technologies like NVIDIA GPU Direct Storage,
which allows GPUs to access storage directly.
Exactly. You can really unlock some incredible performance potential.
That's an exciting time to be following the storage world.
It really is. There's so much innovation happening.
Now, not all the news this week was about positive advancements.
Oh, right. There were some issues as well.
Yeah, Synology, the popular NAS maker, experienced a pretty serious outage.
That's right, affecting their BStation portal, Active Insight, and their C2 cloud services.
That's a lot of services down.
It is, and it caused a lot of disruption for users, especially those who rely on C2 for things like backups or password management.
And they reported that the main cause was network issues.
Which just goes to show that even the most robust systems can be vulnerable.
Definitely. And it highlights the importance of having redundancy and backup plans.
Absolutely. You can never be too prepared when it comes to your data.
Lastly, we also saw that Samsung is doing some internal evaluation.
Oh, what are they looking at?
Their system LSI division, which is their chip design business, and their foundry business.
So the folks who actually manufacture the chips.
Exactly. And this could potentially lead to some big changes.
Like what kind of changes?
Well, they're considering moving their Exynos SoC business to the mobile experience division.
Exynos, those are the processors they use in their smartphones.
Right, and they're also looking at their manufacturing facilities.
Are they planning on expanding?
Actually, they're considering pausing investments in their plants in South Korea and the U.S.
Oh, wow, that's a big shift.
It is, and they're really focusing on improving their yield rates.
So making sure they're producing more working chips from each wafer.
Exactly, which is crucial for profitability.
Absolutely, and they're also reportedly looking at shifting their image sensor business, the automotive industry specifically, for autonomous vehicles and robotics.
So another sign that Samsung is looking to adapt to the changing tech landscape.
They are, and this evaluation is the first major one since they created their management analysis department back in November 2024.
And that department was created to help revitalize underperforming divisions.
So it'll be interesting to see what changes come out of this evaluation.
Definitely something to keep an eye on.
Absolutely.
So we've covered a lot of ground this week, from the very foundations of AI infrastructure to home networking, storage advancements, and even some unexpected hiccups and strategic shifts.
It's amazing how diverse the tech world is.
It is, and it's all connected in one way or another.
Absolutely, and what really ties all these updates together is this constant drive for more speed, more capacity, more connectivity.
And that's especially crucial for things like AI and high-performance computing.
But it also impacts our everyday lives, you know, faster internet, more responsive devices, the ability to do more with technology.
It's all about making our digital lives smoother and more efficient.
Exactly.
But, you know, just thinking about all this, it really highlights how important it is to at least have a basic understanding of these trends.
It's true because technology is changing so rapidly.
It is. And if you can stay ahead of the curve, you'll be better equipped to navigate the future.
And make informed decisions about the tech you use in your work and in your personal life.
Absolutely. So it's definitely worth taking the time to learn about these advancements.
And with all this talk about speed and bandwidth, it really makes you wonder.
About what?
About how these advancements like Wi-Fi 7 and PCIe 6.0 will change the way we use technology in the years to come.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking about speeds that were unimaginable just a few years ago.
Exactly, and those speeds will enable new applications and experiences that we can't even fully grasp yet.
It's really exciting to think about.
It is. It's like we're on the cusp of a whole new era of digital innovation.
And for you, the listener, we encourage you to think about which of these developments really resonated with you.
What sparked your curiosity?
Was it the advancements in AI, the latest networking tech, or maybe the mind-blowing storage capacities?
Whatever it was, we encourage you to dive a little deeper, learn more about it.
And who knows, maybe you'll be the one developing the next groundbreaking technology.
The future is full of possibilities.
That's right. Thanks for joining us for this deep dive.
Always a pleasure. Till next time.
See you all next week.